House Bill 1022, an act to authorize the Department of Corrections to construct prison industry buildings at the South Dakota State Penitentiary, the Jamison Prison Annex, and the Mike Durfee State Prison, and to make an appropriation therefor.
House Bill 1022, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Dunnifin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. House Bill 1022 is an act to authorize the Department of Corrections to construct prison industry buildings at the South Dakota State Penitentiary, the Jamison Prison Annex in the Sioux Falls Prison, and the Mike Durfee State Prison at Springfield. House Bill 1022 would authorize the expenditure of $1,177,000 out of the Pheasant Land Industries money for construction of three prison industry buildings. These buildings would provide an additional approximately 150 jobs in our prison for the inmates who don't have jobs. At last count, we had almost 500 of our inmates that weren't working. I think we would all agree that keeping inmates gainfully employed greatly enhances the institutional climate, helps with discipline, and it also accustoms them to going to work every day, teaches them a work ethic, and more important, prepares them to re-enter the workforce upon their release. For many, it provides income that helps them pay their restitution and child support. I realize that we're all concerned when government competes with private industry. I'm a member of the South Dakota Retailers. I'm a small business owner. I'm also chairman of the State Corrections Commission. This bill was passed out of the commission, as it must be, this expenditure by South Dakota codified law. We voted on it recently. We have civilian members. We have a bipartisan legislative members. I appreciate the concerns of many today who may say that we are competing with private industry. In a way, we are in some areas, but in many other ways, we are not. I think you'll find we need to redo these buildings. One was destroyed by a fire. One is a storage building, and one is somewhat of a replacement building in Sioux Falls. I would appreciate your consideration on this bill as you look to the greater good, putting those inmates to work and hopefully providing them with a trade as they re-enter the workforce. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Don Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I would like you to know that I have some concerns about the state bidding practices. Statute 518 states the requirements of competitive bidding. This statute requires that bidding projects over $50,000 shall be bid by the competitive bid process. My concern is that the state makes the rules, but they don't seem to abide by their own rules. I had planned to amend this bill to include a reference to 518. However, I have been advised by the Department of Corrections and, more importantly, by some of our fellow member representatives that the rules of 518 automatically apply to this bill. So my amendment is not necessary. I would like this body to know that I still have those concerns, but I will not offer an amendment at this time. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Van Gerpen.
Amendment at the desk, please.
This would be 1022-OB, and it has been distributed.
That would be correct, Speaker.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion on the motion to amend. Representative
Speaker,
Van Gerpen.
May I speak to the amendment and the bill both?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen of this body, this amendment would declare an emergency clause specifically and particularly so that those who are at the Springfield State Prison might begin to do the work that's necessary to replace the building that was caught in fire here a few weeks ago. And therefore, we're requesting an emergency clause be added to this particular bill. For about seven years, I worked as a Springfield employee there at the Springfield State Prison at that time. And I can tell you, my friends, that it's a challenging, it's a very frustrating, it's a life-threatening environment that you live in. I cannot explain to you today how emotionally heart-wrenching it is to, in some cases, stand at the prison gate, see a father and a mother at the gate, and then to see a three-year-old child have to say goodbye to its parent as one comes into the prison and one goes home with the child. Our prison employees in South Dakota work under extremely, extremely difficult conditions, and the job is not easy. I don't think any of us can comprehend the task and the responsibility assigned to these prison employees. And so first, I'd like to thank this legislature and others of the Senate and the governor for several years ago approving an increase in pay for the employees at the Springfield State Prison, now the Mike Durfee State Prison. Because what that did is that equalized the pay of those folks with other employees in the corrections department of our state. I don't know if you folks are aware, but at the Mike Durfee State Prison, there is no cell lockdown. If there's a disturbance in Sioux Falls, they can order the inmates to be locked up behind those iron bar cells. That doesn't exist in the dormitories at Springfield. I'd like you to think about tonight when you are sound asleep in your safe and secure motel rooms, that at the Mike Durfee State Prison, in each dormitory there'll be about 200 or so inmates. Those inmates will be watched by three officers. During the night, two of those officers will go out in the perimeter and check the area, leaving as little as one correctional officer responsible for 200 inmates. There is a security and safety concern that I have for our staff. The people of Springfield are doing a good job, and they deserve our support to ensure that we can provide as much security and safety for them as we possibly can. As a matter of fact, I can illustrate to you that the staff turnover of our security officers down there is about 18%. You check the stats of some other prison facilities and you will find that they're as much as 47% and 50%. We have good people, and they deserve the responsibility and the task of this legislature to ensure their security. In our GED department, for example, we had last year 144 graduates of GED programs. In other facilities, they might be as much as 30 or 40. We have good people who deserve our support. And so I ask for your support of this bill and to ask for your support of the clause, create an emergency, because I believe that inmates who are busy working are more secure to work with than those who are idle. I would ask you to think about if you were one of those COs tonight, those correctional officers, and you were the one in that dormitory of 200 inmates, and it was time for the other two COs to go out and check the perimeter surrounding the dormitory. You have no cell blocks. You have dormitory rooms. Would you prefer that those inmates in your particular dormitory have been lying around all day long in their beds watching television, or had been active and working in a facility there at the Mike Durfee State Prison? I think you would agree that inmates that are working are easier to keep under control than inmates that are idle. And therefore, for the security of our staff, I ask you to support this particular legislation. Secondly, working inmates provides an opportunity for them to learn a particular skill. The fact is, my colleagues, that one of these days, most of these inmates will leave prison. They will be our neighbors. They will be the people who are living across the street from our schools. They will be the people who might sit in the galleries of this wonderful hall. You and I, by what we do today, whether or not we support the building of these structures, will determine what these inmates will do when they leave prison. We'll have an influence on that. If they have a job skill, they will likely contribute to society. If they don't have a job skill, they likely will become a tax burden and draw from society. When I worked at the prison, there were three things that I saw important when working with inmates. One was developing character. The second was academic skill. And the third was vocational skill. That's what this bill does, addresses one of those concerns. It ensures that the inmates there are given a job, are given a task, are taught a skill that they can use when they are released. You know, in these days, we talk a lot about education. Education and the cost of education. But how, do you realize that at the present time in South Dakota, it costs about $11,000 per inmate in our state institution? Now, I support the incarceration of those who break the law, but I also realize they are a drain on the economics of this state, and I realize that someday they are going to be released. $11,000 per inmate. That's enough to educate more than two students in our state. $11,000 per inmate. Two inmates would qualify for the cost of an additional teacher in our state per each of the two inmates. One teacher. Friends, for our safety, for the safety of those who are in Springfield, for the development of skill for those who will be released into society someday, we urge you to pass this bill with the emergency clause that they can begin work right away there at Springfield, put the inmates to work, teach them a skill so they're ready to go to work when they're released from prison. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks on House Bill 1022? Representative Bill Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the body. I won't attempt to match the eloquence of Representative Van Gerpen, but I do add my voice to his in urging you to pass the Van Gerpen amendment so that we can begin immediately to reconstruct Springfield, and I hope you'll move on to pass the bill as well. Thank you.
Mr. President, Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Distinguished members of the body, I can't match the eloquence of Mr. Van Gerpen either. I do have a couple of comments, however. We spend $11,000 a year on a prisoner, and we spend $36.66 on a student. Now, I think there's a basic problem there. That's not in relationship to this particular bill, but I think we all ought to be aware of that. I have a real concern with the selection of materials. Are we, in fact, bidding these materials, Mr. McCaulkey, or are we just taking the word of some purchase officer that we're going to get a good deal on these materials? The last guy that told me trust me was a fellow I bought a used pickup from, and I don't trust him very much anymore either. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I couldn't match the eloquence of Mr. Van Gerpen, but I won't take the time to do that. My point is that we heard testimony in appropriations, and what hasn't been said is that our recidivism, whatever that is, rate is the lowest in the nation, and one of the reasons is because we have a high employment rate, but employing 100 more people because of this emergency clause and rebuilding this uninsured building that burned down on us doesn't solve all of our problems. We need to look ahead and see if we can't find a way to employ 300 more who are looking for jobs in our state penitentiary. So if we could even go on and improve on this, it would be economically a very good bargain for us. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Klochek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members of the body. Well, I would ask for your indulgence in voting yes. Permission to speak to the amendment and the bill?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will not wander off the subject. I will stay on subject. I did not want a point of order, Representative Van Gerpen, on that. He did a very good job in bringing most of the points home. However, there's a few things that we need to address. One being, we are not addressing alternative corrections in this legislation. One area that this body and the other body and downstairs have not addressed in reducing our prison population that has worked in other states. I'm not going to talk about redoing empty buildings throughout rural South Dakota and rebuilding our main streets and our main towns, which we have not done as well. But I will tell you, the night of the fire, I was there. I came that afternoon or that early evening and saw the aftermath of that terrible, tragic blaze down at Springfield at Mike Derby Prison, and it was not a pretty sight. You know, it'd be very easy for me to stand before this body and tell you, no, we got to quit building brick and mortar in our prison system. We've got to put an end to this spending. Spend, spend, spend. But we cannot do that. We must move on. We must move forward. We must try to put up some decent structures within those prison walls that will give our prisoners the ability to retrain, to readapt in society, to move forward in the best interest of our state and our nation. You know, it is said that there is not much we can do in prison for prison retraining, but there is and there has been. We have made great strides in our prison workforce. However, we have not done so in other areas of the prison, such as the juvenile corrections issue. So I would ask you to vote for this amendment and then go on and vote for the bill and be ever mindful of the problems and the issues that we have with corrections. Because a million here, a million there, pretty soon, yes indeed, ladies and gentlemen, of this honorable and distinguished body, it is real money. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, honorable members of the body.
Further remarks on House Bill 1022? Hearing none. The question before the House then is the Van Gerpen motion to amend 1022-OB. Those in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carried. Further remarks on House Bill 1022 as amended? Hearing none. The question for the House then is the final passage of House Bill 1022. Those in favor vote aye. Opposed nay. Clerk of the voting machine members are proceeded to vote on House Bill 1022 as amended. This is a two-thirds vote, both due to the fiscal impact and the emergency clause. Representative Hunhoff.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would at this time like to recognize a group of Yanktonians that are here for education in our area. Superintendent Joe Gertzma, Don Fiedler, Rich DeWald, Lori Eberall, Patricia Weiser, Marianne King, Larry Leet, and his daughter Emily. Please help me recognize them.
Representative Belandra. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 67, nays 2, and excused 1.
House Bill 1022, having a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed.
Mr. Speaker.
The title amendment would be in order.
There's one at the desk, Mr. Speaker.
1022 OTA. Is there a second?
Aye.
All those in favor of that motion to amend the title will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carried. Title so amended.